Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, last night President Obama wrapped up his third debate of the 2012 campaign, and I think Mitt Romney wrapped up his 75th debate of the 2012 campaign. It just seems that way from the primary season. But there's good, there's bad, there's crazy, just like there is just about every debate that we've had so far in this season. All of them are in the books now. Last night's was on foreign policy, if you happen to be spending a little more time watching Monday Night Football or the Giants completing their comeback in the NLCS in the quest for the World Series. So there's good, there was bad, there was crazy. The good is that it was clear Mitt Romney's effort was to look presidential, calm, competent on the facts. I think that was accomplished if you look at the comments afterwards. The president, on the other hand, was clearly in attack mode like he was in the town hall debate. There were several moments pretty close to this one.
I think Governor Romney maybe hasn't spent enough time looking at how our military works. You mentioned the Navy, for example, and that we have fewer ships than we did in 1916. Well, Governor, we also have fewer horses and bayonets because the nature of our military has changed. We have these things called aircraft carriers where planes land on them. We have these ships that go underwater, nuclear submarines.
That came across, I think, as pretty snarky. That was in response to Romney saying that sequestration is going to gut the military on top of what the president has already decided to cut. And by going after ships and treating them that way, I think, Jim, we're getting closer to the point where we can say that our exit polls are showing that the state of Virginia is going into the Mitt Romney column.
Breaking news out of last night's debate. The campaign spot decision desk can now officially call the state of Virginia for Mitt Romney. Due to a dramatic shift in the numbers in Newport News, Virginia, and Norfolk, Virginia, and every single community that has a significant role with shipbuilding, after Obama poo-pooed the issue of building more ships. And keep your eye on other shipbuilding communities in places like New Hampshire and Maine, and around the, maybe even on the West Coast, because that's not going to play very well for the president in those communities. Of all of Romney's stances for Obama to go after, is expanding the Navy really the most controversial one? Is that really the most, you know, the most target-rich environment? I mean, Obama in that sneering about, you know, bayonets and horses. Well, you know, let's observe, yeah, you know, the nature of our military has changed. Yes, so is the threat. The other guys aren't just using bayonets and horses, too. They have their own, you know, anti-ship missiles and torpedoes and such, particularly that of Iran. And the other thing is that also what's changed from, you know, recent years, never mind, you know, the 1900s, is that our allies have less of a navy than they used to. Britain is not the naval power it used to. France is not the naval power it used to. You know, there's a lot of corners of the seas and seaways that need need someone to be the keepers of order and to keep things from going out of control in the Straits of Taiwan. And, you know, when China and Japan get at each other's throats, and all throughout the Mediterranean, the Red Sea, off the with Somali coast with the pirate. I mean, you just get on the list. And the argument of the Romney campaign is that, well, we used to talk about a 600-ship Navy back in the Reagan days, and now we're down closer to 300. It will go below 300 with sequestration. Yes, you have greater ability to project power, but one, that means losing any one of those ships or aircraft carriers, God forbid, is a much greater problem for us if, heaven forbid, we ever come to some sort of naval battle with some hostile force. And, you know, with people talking strikes on Iran and, you know, any other, you know, the certain degree which we end up taking military strikes in places like Pakistan. Look, you know, the possibility of a naval battle in the not-too-distant future is one any president has to be prepared for. And here is Obama finding Romney's argument laughable and ridiculous. And, oh, by the way, as many people have noted, you know, our military still uses bayonets. Our special forces mounted horses when they were going after the Taliban in Afghanistan. Apparently the last major battle using bayonets, 2004 in Basra by British troops, you know, in Iraq. So Obama really wanted to come across as, boy, I really know the military and you don't. And I think he kind of, the president who used the term corpsman kind of came across badly on that one. The demeanor, the approach of the candidates, everything about them screamed that Romney was ahead, and that Obama really needed some sort of game-changing dynamic in last night's debate. I don't think he got it. And I think, you know, the more petulant and you know, belittling and sneering he got, the less that, you know, famous Obama likability was going to save him in these sorts of things. Every one of these debates, it has been clear that Barack Obama cannot believe that Romney's on the stage with him. He cannot believe that anybody could be seriously considering voting for this man. I think Romney went into last night's debate leading, and I think he came out of it leading. And that's the best news for folks on the right tonight.
I think that's probably right. I think he also perhaps scored a few points in Ohio with his easy-to-understand and clear answer on China and their copyright infringement and their cheating on the currency and so forth. He may have given back a couple points when he got bogged down in the details in the debate over the auto bailout. But one of the things that was very interesting is that one of Obama's very first answers, in fact, it might have been the very first answer, he says, every opinion Governor Romney's had on foreign policy he's expressed is wrong. And then Governor Romney's sitting there agreeing with him on issues ranging from the initial military work in Libya to what's going on in Syria to the sanctions for the most part when it comes to Iran. But that also dovetails into martini number two, in which there were so many opportunities, Jim, last night for the governor not to look as petulant as the president, but to also point out just how horrible this president's foreign policy record is. Bob Schieffer lobbed him a softball right out of the gate on Benghazi. He didn't even mention Benghazi. He started talking. He mentioned Mali, al-Qaeda in Mali twice, but wouldn't talk about what happened at the consulate. There were opportunities on Israel, which he did mention a number of times, but did not mention that Obama recommended that Israel give up all the territory it picked up after the Six-Day War in 1967. He did a good job of talking about the flexibility issue with Putin, but didn't really punch hard back on that. There were just, seems like, opportunity after opportunity that I was just kind of like grimacing and shaking my head when it was Romney's time to end talking, because he had so many different issues that he could have mentioned very effectively and didn't. And so could have been a knockout punch again, and I don't think it happened.
If you're a mature person who's kind of watching politics, you have to recognize that what appeals to you personally is not always what appeals to the electorate at large, and it's not always what appeals to the remaining swing voters. Let's be honest. There probably weren't that many swing voters watching last night. Monday Night Football was on. Baseball was on. Secondly, if you're a swing voter, you're probably not that interested in foreign policy. And to the extent that they are quasi-isolationist, they are protectionist, they are poorly informed about foreign policy matters. Having said all that, Greg, sometimes the gap between what is needed to appeal to a swing voter and what is needed to appeal to us is really hard to take. And that's the way I would characterize it last night. That, you know, we really wanted a president who would take it to Obama on the Benghazi stuff, who would take it to him on the fact that they've used the Pentagon as this endless piggy bank for defense cuts. If you polled conservatives, I bet you they would love to have seen Romney at some point mention the president bowing. It's interesting that Romney is okay with using the term apology tour. He's not willing to mention this, you know, he used the term bowing metaphorically. But I think really the literal physical bowing is something that just turns the stomachs of people on the right. The president of the United States should not be bowing to anybody, least of all the Saudi king. And, you know, you don't get any of this stuff. So, Governor Romney, we understand why you had to do what, you know, what you did last night. But boy, oh boy, I hope you understand that a whole bunch of us want, you know, January 21st, we want to see a little fire and brimstone, okay? Make up for everything we didn't get last night. And really didn't get in the last debate either. You know, you're supposed to be Mr. Cuddly Nice Guy in these town hall debates. So this was a frustrating format. And you also kind of wonder if really we should have had the foreign policy debate, since clearly that's not what either candidate really wanted to talk about. It's not what the audience wanted to hear. It's probably not really what Bob Schieffer wanted to talk about. It just kind of was this, we were stuck with this topic. So they ended up talking about this topic, even though nobody really wanted to hear anything more about it.
Yeah, that could be the case. And Afghanistan's another issue. All the blue-on-green violence didn't get a lot of talking to. I thought Romney did do a good job of steering the discussion back to the economy and how a strong America makes for a stronger presence in the world. That was well done. It was interesting, though, Jim, as I turned the channel after watching a little bit of the commentary afterwards to the Monday Night Football game, since my Bears were playing. Cheering for the Bears, I think, is the only thing the president and I have in common. As I watched the Bears pretty much just do very little on offense imaginatively towards the end of the game, they were just basically relying on their defense to get the job done. And I'm like, huh, where have I seen this earlier tonight?
In that case, Chicago and Michigan were flipped, right?
Yes, exactly right. And
you know, Obama was playing like the Lions, and Romney was playing like Chicago, the Bears.
Exactly. And the good news for Romney is the Bears won. Hopefully the strategies of both prove to be successful. Anyway, on to Bob Schieffer, following that little segue. We mentioned him just a moment ago. Jim, I think out of the four moderators, and this is a little bit crazy, he turned out to be the most professional, the one who was least interjecting himself, the least biased in follow-ups. In fact, he didn't even have that many follow-ups. The only one I really remember is asking Mitt Romney how he would pay for certain things. So for the most part, I think most people are going to forget that he was there, which means he did a good job.
Yeah, and a couple of things, because going into this, I don't think many of us would have predicted that Bob Schaefer would have been the best moderator. I think he was. When he gave his introduction, I kept waiting for, say, I'm Bob Schaefer of CBS News, and I've decided tonight's going to be story time. Just that avuncular, folksy, grandfatherly figure. Those of us who are upset about lack of detail on Benghazi, hey, can't put that on Schaefer. He came out, and that was the very first question, and he put it right to Romney, and Romney's the one who quickly steered to Syria and Iran and all around the Middle East. I think he did a very good job of getting, here's the topic, and kind of letting the candidates speak to each other. He had a couple of follow-ups, as you said, but not too many interrupting. The flow of this one seemed to go most naturally. If I have any complaint about it, it's not like any of the topics they discussed was unnecessary. It's just that by putting, Libya and Afghanistan and Iran and America's role in the world and, the Arab Spring, they ended up being a very Middle East heavy debate, which, look, no denying that needs to be a large chunk of any foreign policy discussion. No mention of the EU and the euro and debt crisis you're seeing over there. Little bit of talk on Russia. India didn't get mentioned at all. No mention of Mexico, the drug cartels, border security, Fast and Furious, or anything like that. And that's really struck me as really frustrating. A slight quibbling with some of the topics covered. Just a nice tone to Schaefer's moderating. We didn't notice him for large chunks of the night, and that's the way it's supposed to be. So
now it's exactly 2 weeks. We'll see who can stay on message and get through the finish line first. It should be fun, and hopefully the momentum's still with Romney.
Yeah, I was going to say, look, we are now in that 2 week sprint. You have to feel pretty darn good about where Romney is. Clearly, look, the state of the race is that Obama has decided it's all base motivation from here on in. All of his answers, his demeanor. The Democratic base thinks that Mitt Romney is a joke, and so Barack Obama seemed to think he could do best if he acted like he thought Mitt Romney was a joke, too. By the way, I think that's what President Obama genuinely thinks. Mitt Romney is going big. He knows that those remaining undecideds are all potential Romney voters. Probably for them, they're trying to choose between voting for Romney or staying home, and he's going to be making his push for these late deciding, often low information, perhaps not all that interested voters out there. For Romney, it's a good formula to have. I think Obama really is exhibiting. He's got something of a 46, 47, 48% ceiling, and he's just got to hope that Romney's base doesn't turn out in the numbers that could sweep him out.
Overall, clearly the debate's a plus for Mitt Romney, and that's coming out of him about as much as we could have hoped for, Jim. So good for us.
Good for us. I'll see you tomorrow. Two more weeks of this, Greg.
Ah, seems like we just started. No, it doesn't. Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us, and please be sure to join us tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.